Isn't God good? I don't know if anybody feels the joy of the Lord. I just feel the joy of the Lord. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. You know, if each of us here would have, you know, if I do like give you the mic, to be like, so how was your week? You know, we all had some sort of hiccup in our weeks, right? But overall, it was a good week because here we are. We're still breathing, you know? So we thank God for every season. So I was praying this weekend. I want something, you know, this world is kind of going crazy, right? We know it's going crazy. But there are three things I want to talk about this morning. The first thing I want to talk about is from Matthew chapter 24. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 24. It's just to remind you of what's happening, to not let your heart be troubled, but put your focus on Jesus. You better put your focus on Jesus, because there's nobody on earth that can save us. Life is not going to get any better, any easier. If you would ask me, Ricardo, what is this one time in your life you would want to go back to? I'll tell you. I'm 16, and I'm going to Jacmel, Haiti, southeast of Haiti, going to my grandma's house. Those years, I mean, I remember when I'm at grandma's house, and somehow the Lord gave me favor with grandma. It felt like I was grandma's favorite. I'm sure I wasn't. But I remember just sleeping at my, you know, on my grandma's bed. You know, she'd make hot cocoa, you know, going to the river. I mean, it's just like, I would go back there. If I want to remember a really sweet time. Remember when we used to, even here in America, when we used to sleep with our doors wide open. Or, you know, now I see, you know, if you're part of the Nextdoor app or if you're part of the Ring camera community, you know, you see people every day. You know, somebody broke in my car. Make sure you lock your car. So it's like this world is perishing, but thank God that we are part of a kingdom that will never shake that. I mean, the kingdom of God, you know, and the question went this morning, don't you want to be part of the kingdom? What are you talking about? I'm part of the kingdom, right? What are you talking about? I want to be part of the kingdom. I want every day, my everyday action, everything I do, I want to reflect. Remember last week, the ladies talked to you about the clash of two kingdoms. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this culture. Our minds. You know, and Kendra was using an example, and what she was saying, she wasn't saying the Haitian culture is bad, the American culture is, no. That's not what she was saying. Every culture has their pros and their cons, right? You can learn from each other. You know, but if we're not careful, if we don't let God renew our mind, we function from a Haitian mindset, American mindset. You know, we judge situation from our culture, from what we knew. But listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you. I'm reading from the New Living, of course. Verse 5, it says, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. Those are the words of Jesus. They will deceive many. You should underline that word in your Bible. Deceive. They would make you believe something that is true, that's not. So the Lord's saying, don't be deceived, because there are many who would come in my name saying they're the Messiah. That's why. Don't be like the generation in Jesus' time, a lot of them were looking for miracles. Do you know that Satan can do miracles? Mm-hmm. Satan can do miracles. Yep. So don't seek for miracles. Don't go after God for miracles. Or even go after Jesus. Oh, I want to follow Jesus. There is a song that used to go, everything's going to be all right. Yeah, you have peace, but we don't follow Jesus because life is good. And I think that that's another deception. Because people think, well, I'm going to be a Christian, so everything's going to be good. Let's keep reading, see what happened. First of all, he's like, many will come in my name, claiming that they are the Messiah. And they will deceive many. I mean, this is word of wisdom. Jesus is prophesying for the future. Verse 6, it says, you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but what? Help me out. Don't be alarmed. Don't panic. Yes, these things must take place. But the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nations and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pain. I honor my wife for birthing 3 children. I never want to go through a birth pain. I remember when we were having Priscilla, we went to this preparation class. I had to do... because they're explaining to me, there's a moment in the pain that it's in birth pain. It goes, man, ladies, hats off. That's why you children, you need to respect your mom. Because there's no other pain on earth that you can compare to giving birth. So you ladies, you know what Jesus is talking about here. Us men, we could assume, because we watch you going through it, like, oh, some guys faint. Because, I mean, just imagine, they would die if they would be going through that pain. So, it's verse 8 says, but all this is only the first of birth pain with more to come. Verse 9, then you will be arrested, persecuted. Those are words that you should underline in your Bibles. Arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are, why? What? Because of me, because you're my followers. So I say, choose your battle. Choose your fight. Your political opinion is debatable. That's why I ask that you be wise. Yeah, don't let anybody shut you down. Your opinion, everybody's got the right to their opinion, okay? Respect people's opinion. But if you truly have made a choice to follow Jesus, to identify with the cross, to identify with his resurrection, you know what's going to happen? There. You will be persecuted. Help me out. Arrested and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my follower. I like that. It says, because you are my followers. And once again, in this, we can ask ourselves this question. Am I following Jesus? Or am I just go to church, church goer? Are you following Jesus every day? When the ocean, what is it? We were going to sing that song, but I choose that song. When life gets rough in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of nothing works, what's your reaction? I was telling Priscilla last night. I was with Louie the other day. You know, we do little service here and there. Somebody hired me to replace a water heater, a gas water heater, but they didn't tell me it was liquid propane gas. I assumed it was natural gas heater. So after I installed the water heater, on my way home, I get a text that, you know I have liquid propane gas? I'm like, I didn't know that. And you can't go to the box store to buy a liquid propane gas. It's like 6 in the afternoon on my date night. I don't have time for that. I mean, it's like my whole world just flipped right there. Because, and then here's this guy say, I need hot water. Or he didn't have hot water before I showed up, but now the pressure is on. I gotta give him hot water. So I'm calling everywhere. I was even willing to go to Richmond to pick up a hot water. Couldn't find a hot water, liquid propane hot water heater around. A Ferguson had one, but they were close. But I remember my heart beating. So when you face situation at work, at school, when you're under pressure, what's your reaction? And let me remind you again, everybody is watching. Whether you're aware of it, people are watching you. You know, when we sing, let us become more aware of the Spirit, we live by the Spirit, so we do not accomplish the desire, or we do not gratify the desire of the flesh. That includes giving into anxiety of the moment. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. We get to serve God by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I don't have time to give you story. I mean, the rest of the story, but long story short. Couldn't get a water heater that evening. Called the guy. The guy's like, well, then now I got to go to a hotel. So I'm like, well, sir, do you want me to pay for your hotel? I was willing. I'm like, okay, I got to do whatever it takes. And I already upside down in the water heater because while I was installing the water heater, he was telling me this person, this previous guy, quoted him $4,700. I'm like, what? And now, when I'm in the middle of this chaos, I'm like, no wonder, now I get it. That's why he quoted you 47. That's about right. That's a $5,000 job. But I'm not even halfway there. Because it's just a simple water heater. I just keep my price fair. So not only I'm upside down in price, I'm upside down in time, and then I'm missing my date night. And then I got to find him a water heater. All right, long story short, next morning, 6 o'clock, I woke up, went to the plumbing place. And on top of it, by the way, this week I was sick for a couple of days. Dave says, you're not allowed to be sick. Preachers don't get sick. I said, Dave, I received that in the name of Jesus. I felt good yesterday. It's like, do I look like someone who had a cold? No. I don't sound like someone. Thursday I came here, I couldn't even stay. Because I told Kathy, man, I don't feel good, I gotta go. So when you face situation, whatever the situation might be, how are you gonna act? What's gonna be your response? I don't know. I have made a choice to follow Jesus. No matter what situation comes my way, I'm going to remain. We know that verse, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When you study that in the book of Philippians, Paul was saying that because he was going through a hard time. It's like, I can face whatever the situation. Why? Because my strength, my wisdom, the common sense I need comes from Christ. You can remain calm in the middle of the storm. Why? Not because you don't have anxiety. You do have anxiety. You do have stress. But because of who is in my boat. I'm being aware of Jesus is in the middle of my storm. So right now I have to take responsibility. I can't freak out. I can't panic. And here's the pressure coming from this guy. All right, well, I'm willing to pay for your hotel. Or he's like, no. I said, well, I only live like 5-10 minutes from you. Come to my house. I'm offering every options. I mean, I'm like, I'm going to sleep in the garage, give him my bedroom, whatever. You know, that would never happen, but, you know, I'm trying to come up with solution. So I got the water heater. Me and Louis, we went. And we placed, that was the one of the fastest exchange we've ever done. Change the water heater, and then I text him a picture. So at this time, I'm thinking, I need at least an extra $1,200 for me to feel okay about the job. Well, he's like, okay. He said, I can only give you $500. I said, okay, sounds good. I said, because at this time, I want him to be happy. And I'm in the middle of my storm. I'm controlling my peace. It's like I'm in control. I'm not going to keep $100 or time make me frustrated. So I did, long story short. The guy gave me a review. I don't know, maybe he got convicted. The guy went online and gave me one of my best reviews. Praise God. People are watching you. We all are acting Christians here, right now. And when we come to church, it's okay to act Christian. But you know where you need to be acting Christian, or when you need to express yours, I mean, people need to see your true self, is at work, when you're under pressure. When you're under pressure, what's the first thing that comes out of your mind, out of your mouth? Is it a curse word? I don't know. Or is it, you know what, Lord, I give you glory for this situation. Lord, it's just painful. I don't know. I can't bear it, but God, Lord, I don't know. I just trust you. I trust in God. It's not, it can't be just a song. When you're facing hardship, what is your reaction? People are watching. And if you can't be the same sweet Christian you are here at church, when you're under pressure at Walmart, I keep using Walmart. I should use Home Depot or something like that. Guess I love Walmart. Oh, man. Nations, where was I? By verse 9, says, will you be arrested, persecuted, and killed? You'll be hated because of what? Yeah, this is where I was. Because you are following me. Jesus says, you, all these things will happen to you because you choose to identify with me. You choose to identify with me. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. I think one of your versions says the love of many will grow cold. We pray, it says, Lord, may my love never grow cold. May my passion never grow cold. And I've talked to, of course, chapter 5 is coming in Ephesians. Kendra and I, we've been married for 26 years, going 27. Can't wait. But you know what I'm finding out? The more we choose to pursue each other, to work our trouble, the more in love we are. Because you've been married for 60 years, that doesn't mean you should lose your passion. Now, I get it. We're not the same age. You're not going to have sex like rabbits. I get it. We're not as young as we used to be. I get it. So when I'm talking about passion, I'm not talking about being that. No. But I'm talking about the fact that I cannot live without her. When I go away, And what's wrong about longing that if I'm in a marriage? You know, and for me, when I read the word, that's where my mind is, because I believe that we serve a God of restoration. So if God can restore my soul, my messed up soul, he can restore my friendship with my kids. He can restore my friendship with my best friend. Why couldn't he restore my marriage? Are you with me? The love of many will grow cold. The passion of many will grow cold. I used to hear people, I hear people say sometimes, oh, you remember when you first fell in love with the Lord? And you know how fiery that was. Zeal. Man, I don't want to lose my zeal. As a matter of fact, I feel like I have more zeal for the Lord now. As a matter of fact, when I feel like I'm lukewarm, I'm like, God, have mercy. Because I don't want to lose my passion. And that's what happened. People who lose their passion for Christ become lukewarm Christians. They grew callous. They grew calluses. Spiritual calluses. Well, let me read, finish reading, and then I'm going to go to my second point, which is a verse from Ephesians. But it says, many will turn away from me, betrayed, and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive, once again the word, deceive many people. So be aware of all those prophets. You know, I think I said that a couple of weeks ago. Church people, somehow, they have this longing to always want to hear the prophet. You know, thus says the Lord this, thus says the Lord that. I get it. I've operated in thus says the Lord this. And, you know, the Lord has given me words before. But there's this move out there where people are just running here after this prophet, running there after this that prophet, not even knowing their lives. I mean, it's crazy what's happening out there. False prophets, people who are giving words. And then, of course, people who are giving words that are not even prophetic words. Because remember, a prophecy under the new covenant does three things. Bring exhortation, encouragement, and edification. Now, if someone is doing prediction of the future, that's a word of wisdom or word of knowledge. But everybody wants to hear that the prophet says, do not go to town next tomorrow. Yeah, everybody wants that, you know. It's like they see the prophet as a seer. In the Old Testament, the prophet used to be a seer. And God can use the gift. I believe in the gift of the Holy Spirit that the Lord, if he wants to tell you something, well, he can use a prophet. But how about him telling you directly? Huh? Yeah. How about him telling you, Ricardo, this is what I want you to do, and I'll tell you that. I say it, and I'll say it again. The more you spend time in the Word of God, the more you will be able to make the difference between the voice of a false prophet and the voice of God speaking to you. The best way to know when God speaks is to know God's Word. Because then when a false prophet is speaking, you're going to know. You're just going to know. Why? Because you know God's Word. God's Word is His voice. God's Word is God. No, we don't have time for that. You have to make time. You'll never have time. A couple of years ago, Kendra she had this lady teaching her stuff. And she came to me, she's like, you know, I find this new revelation. It's just not good when you're just eating on the go. Like, you know, you're so busy and you swing by the drive-thru and you grab a Big Mac and then you're driving with this left knee, eating the Big Mac. You know, and I'm like, I've never done that, but I've seen people do it. But you know what I do? I just sit around, I'm so busy and I'm like, oh. No. You remember that? Was that in Haiti? Whoa, man, that was years ago. So then I'm like, okay, yeah, all right, yeah, you eat in a hurry. Digestively, it's not good for your digestive system. When you eat, if you could somehow sit, just force you thank God for your food and just have a moment to enjoy your meal. You know, talking to your family or talk, you know, even it's physically, mentally good for you. Spiritually, it's the same thing. Praise God for these apps that shoot us a text of a Bible verse. You cannot win a spiritual battle on a Bible verse shooting on your phone. There's no way. You have to take time to be in the Word. Then we'll have a strong church. You will. We will. We will have a strong church. Isn't God's Word so good? Oh, it says many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. You know, I'm not discarding prophecy, but when somebody gives you a word of prophecy, please take it and sift it through the Word of God. But not only that, if you're a person of the Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? What am I supposed to do with that? Verse 11 says, many false prophets will appear and will deceive many. Verse 12, sin will be rampant everywhere and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures, everybody say with me, endures. That's it right there. Hold on tight. Those who endures to the end will be saved. Now you can tie this with, through this whole idea of once saved is always saved. Oh, it's like, oh, you've confessed Jesus as your Lord. You know, Lord Jesus, today I receive you. I confess my sin, you know. Amen. You saved. Bang. Hallelujah. You can't explain that. It's something that happened in your spirit. But you know what happened to repentance? It says if anyone is in Christ, that person becomes a new creation. So you're not like this anymore. You're like that. And they recognize a tree by the fruit you produce. The day is coming when you'll see what Daniel, the prophet, spoke about, the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing in the holy place. Oh, man. Now, I'm giving you homework. You can go and read Daniel chapter 13, Daniel chapter 9, talks about the sacrilegious. Some of the things that's going to happen. And then what happened? We have three things here in this verse. It says, even when you read Daniel, it says, first, the false priest assuming the priesthood. So, for example, you will find people in the church who are not called to ministry. You will find people who are not called to pastor. You know, we briefly touch on the fivefold ministry gifts. Being a pastor, being called to ministry, it's not a job. You don't go to college to become a pastor. It's a call. It's a divine call. Even being a worship leader, that's a call. The anointing of the Lord is on you. And you know that there's time of preparation. Somebody could ask, how do you know you're called to ministry? I tell you, if you are truly called to ministry, you won't ever be satisfied doing anything else but the ministry. Do you know how much I've wrestled with the Lord in the past 3 years to go plumbing full time? I'm done wrestling, okay? I'm done. I rest my case. Yeah, I'm telling you. You know, some of you might even know that. I remember a year and a half ago, I'm like, wow, I can make a lot of money. Plus, don't deal with a lot of stuff. You know? There's something about unclogging a toilet for somebody. I mean, they look at you, they're like, thank you so much. And you're like, wow. It's dirty, of course, but they're so happy. So that's sign number one. I remember back in 2015, 16, 14, I was in Haiti and I'm like, Lord, what am I doing here? Everybody hates me. I don't know what I have done to them. There was this season at our ministry. It's like everywhere I go, I feel like people of the church were resisting me. I'm like, now a lot of them are getting it, coming back, asking for forgiveness. Some of the guys I was ministering to, loving on them, they thought I had ulterior motives. I'm like, I just love you. I just want good for you. And they're coming at me. I'm like, Lord, what am I doing here, Lord? Man, I just wish I would get an offer for a job. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, Lord, why don't I get a call from somebody in Florida and offer me a job? Oh, I'm praying this. Seriously, I'm praying this. Because I'm thinking, I'm so young, I'm wasting my life because I'm trying to be obedient to God's call. And I feel like everybody hate me. I feel like, you know, my kids, I don't have time for them. I feel like I'm struggling. So I'm asking God for an open door. So here I am in November 2015. I got a call. I got a call from this guy. He's like, hey, Ricardo, I'm enlarging my business and I want you. And right away, he's like, I want you and this is what I'm paying you. In 2 weeks, we're gonna go to the seminar. I want you to come. I'll bring you back to the States, paying tickets and everything, going to the conference. I'm like, praise God, Lord, you answered my prayer. You're such a good God. Then you, when I pray, and sing that song. When I pray, He answers. So I went to Kendra. I said, Kendra, I got it. This is the news. This is what I've been longing for, praying for. Kendra says, I don't think so. She's like, I don't think so. I'm like, shut up, woman. Come on. That's God's will. You know? So I was like, I'm going. I'm the man of the house. I'm going. So I went. I went excited, you know, got there. And I'm thinking that was November. The seminar was, 2 weeks later. And I was supposed to, I had a plan. By February, I was going to move back to Florida to go start my job and be like, okay, done with this ministry thing. Yeah. So I felt like I was getting my dream job because I love plumbing. So, and that was a plumbing job. So then I got there, first day at the seminar, man, I'm seeing dollar sign. I'm like, yes, man, this is so good. I'm taking notes. I'm like, this is so great. Day one, we were all done, man, going to our hotel. Man, this feels good, yeah. Day two, I'm sitting there. I'm taking notes. I'm focused. Day three, I'm still good. On day four, I'm sitting there and I'm taking note. I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit say, Ricardo, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I know the voice of God. I know the voice of the Holy Spirit. I've walked with Him. And then right away, there's a sense of sadness. And I'm like, Lord, oh, it's like, I know this is not, and God spoke so clear. It's like, this is not my will. This is not what I have for you. Guys. I mean, the seminar was for 7 days or something like that. I had to finish. And that was the worst, one of the worst seasons in my life. Because after that, I couldn't take notes. The Lord just talking to me. He was talking to me. And then, of course, the excitement I had the previous days, I lost it. Because now it's just like Jonah. I'm running. And now I find myself in the belly of the fish. And I'm repenting. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry just for not trusting you. Because that's the other thing. I'm a young man. I can work. And here I am in Haiti living on barely minimum support. I'm in a community. Everybody hate me. I don't know what I've done to them. Not everybody, but, you know, it's like those who hate you, they're louder, you know. And the enemy, of course, is putting in my head, man, I'm wasting my life. I could just go plumbing and don't deal with all this stuff. And then I'm praying, guys, my prayer, exactly the way I prayed it, I had the offer. That's why we need wisdom, because sometimes, you know, even when we pray, Satan doesn't know our mind. He plants seeds in our minds, but He hears our talk. He hears what we want, what we wish for. Even praying to God, we know Father God is a good God. He'll never, everything He gives us will enrich us spiritually, mentally, spiritually. There's a verse that says, whatever God gives, He gives with no sorrow. Proverbs. So when God gives you something, there's no sorrow with it. Even being in ministry. So when God blessed you with something, it's not going to come with headache. No. But sometimes when we are eager, we can't wait. We go and just take. That's when we suffer. So then I finished the seminar. Very spiritually, I was in sorrow, repenting. So at the end of the seminar, the boss is like, "So what do you think?" I said, "Well, I got to go home and talk to Kendra." I said, "I'll let you know next week." So I went home. Right away, I said, "Honey, yeah, this is not for us. This is not for us." So the hardest thing for me was to tell my boss because he was so excited. And then, you know, God's will, I told him, I said, "This is not the season for me." So then I went back to Haiti. I said, "Okay, God, this is where I'm supposed to be. Now what?" And then the Lord, that's when he's like, "Well, what do I give you? I give you the word. Start teaching it." And we had the curriculum from ministry school that we went through. He's like, "Well, go to the remote areas where pastors cannot afford Bible school. Teach the word." And guys, that's why when God brought us out of Haiti, for us, he brought us out of revival. Because it was just like, I love Virginia Beach. I love America. I knew Lynchtown. But if anybody would be like, "Ricardo, come to Virginia Beach," I'm thinking, don't you see what's happening here? I was the pastor of a church that was growing. I had like many different things. The country was going crazy and stuff, you know. But it was just like the ministry was growing. And you know what? And since we left, it's still growing. Because it's not our ministry. You know? So I tell you all this to say this what? To say what? When you read Daniel, it says the sacrilegious, the things that weren't supposed to happen, you see a lot of people who are in ministry, they're not called. They're hired. So therefore, when you're hired, you can be fired as well, but also you might have not to respond or answer to God. You answer to an organization. You see, now, me being called in the ministry, I don't worry about the money because where God call, he will provide. But at the same time, Paul was a tent maker. Thank God I'm a plumber. Are you with me? So that's where we come from. So you have priests, false priests, assuming the priesthood in the church. I mean, the other thing you see in Daniel is the presence of unlawful image of God. So you see that even in our churches in the world right now. They make God to something God is not. You see, God is holy. Don't mess with God. Listen, don't give God your leftovers. You go and study the book of Chronicles. You see how God gave Moses, David, every detail, even to the inches, the height of how the temple should be built. And David went on saying, "Man, I get my God. I understand God. He's so worthy. I don't want to offer him anything that's worthless. I want to give him everything that is dear to me." And how many times we give God our leftovers? "Oh, I'll go to church if I feel like it. I'll go to cell group if I really feel like it. You know what? I really don't feel like it. I'm tired. You know? We have a false image of God, so therefore we only serve God when it's convenient. Really? Oh, God help us, Lord. It's got to cost you something. It cost Jesus everything to give us access to God. You know what it will cost you and I? It will cost us everything to encounter God's face. It will cost you everything. Your selfishness, your pride, your vision, your dreams. But thank God, because I can tell you how fulfilling it is right now in my life to be able to walk in a home. Because I'm never in a hurry to get to the next job. So when I go to a place, I'm listening. I'm looking for opportunities. So a job, my work as a plumber is giving me opportunity that my call as a pastor would never give me in the community. Because most people cannot relate to the pastor. You guys can. But a lot of people out there, they can relate to me as their plumber. So a couple weeks ago, we were doing work for this guy. I mean, just, we're talking. Doing life. Do the thing. And then the next day, he had to go. I said, go, you pay me later. So he doesn't live too far from me. So we met very close to my house. So on that day, I had church. So then I swing by before I came here. And he's like, oh, you're not working today? I said, oh, no, I don't work plumbing today. I was like, yeah, what? Why not? I mean, he was curious. Like, why not? I was like, well, because I go to church. I go to my office. He's like, yeah, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. He looked at me. He's like, I should have known. I give glory to God. He said, and he looked at me with a smile. He's like, I should have known. And we end up talking about Jesus. He loves the Lord. Guys, following Christ, follower of Christ, people are watching you. People are watching you. When they watch you, what do you see? What do they see? See, Jesus, he's when the Bible says he's coming for pure bride. Now, think about, I'm not talking about being perfect, man. Ask Kendra, ask my kids. I'm no perfect man. You come do life with me, man. For those of you who do life very close to me, I mean, none of us are perfect. But when we give room to the Holy Spirit, you realize there is no private life. There is no church life, plumbing life, work life, family life. It's a one life. So who are you? At Walmart. Oh, well, I should choose a different. Who are you at Home Depot? Who are you at school? Who are you at work? Because the sacrilegious, you know, we talk about the misrepresentation of God, God's image. People wants to bring God to their humanity. You know, I've heard it. You know, preachers wants to bring God to your level. Now, remember, Jesus took the form of a man. He came to our level. Glory to God. It's because of Christ we have access to God. But man, God is holy. You must have fear for God. You must have reverence for him. That's why I encourage you. You know, when you come here, be aware of what he's doing. You know, put this on do not disturb because you're in the presence of God. You know, whatever can take your attention. I tell you, even discipline yourself to be just focused. It's only 1 hour. Okay, max 2 hours. It's only 2 hours in the whole week. So when you walk in here, you just give him, or when you take time to connect with him, shut everything. That's why he who dwell in the secret place, a place that is secret, a place that is free from distraction, you will abide under his wings. You know, here's another one you find in Daniel. The third one is where it talks about the temple being holy. We know according to the word that God doesn't dwell in man-made building. He dwells where? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you watch. Holy, be careful, little ears. I do have little ears. Look at this. What you hear, some of you have big ears. Oh, be careful, my 2 feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, these 2 hands, what you touch. Why? Because God dwells with here. The Holy Spirit dwells with here. Be careful, my mouth, what I speak. Even in the midst of frustration, God is not the author of frustration. You know, we Kendra and I'm going to finish with this. Kendra and I were talking about this the other day. There are two ways the enemy can have open door in your life or attacked you, not open doors. Well, he can have open doors, but there are two ways he can really go in after you. There are two ways he can affect you. Satan, demons, they're real. They exist, just like the angels. There is either an open door in your life, number one. Number two is you might be a threat. So if you're a threat to the kingdom of darkness, of course, you're on his bullseye. But he can't touch you. He can't do anything to you. I was having a dream the other day. God speak to me through dreams. But then also I have dreams of crazy stuff. Fights, spiritual fights. So here I am, I'm sleeping, and here comes this demon. And right away I notice it's a demon. I slap them. Bam! And then of course I woke up. I'm glad I slap him on this side. Because Kendra is on that side. But seriously, if you're truly following Christ, that's why Psalm 4, when you sleep, you say, God, you talk to me. If you don't talk to me, there's no room in my sleep for me to be disturbed by demons, to be doing crazy things, having sexual relationship in my dreams, having crazy stuff. If that's happening to you, come talk to us. You need deliverance. You need a breakthrough. So if demons are manifesting in your house, I mean, it's crazy. I thought stuff like that only happened in Haiti. A couple years ago, this person called us saying, you know what, when I'm at my house, I sit like that, tables are moving. Mm-hmm. They're sleeping, they're being scratched, and then when they wake up, they see this big old scratch. And number three is, if you're just a lukewarm Christian, people who just go to church, but your life does not reflect any power that raised Christ from the dead, the devil's like, don't bother him. Nah. Like, he just go to church. Open door. So you look in your life. Is there any open door? What do you watch? What do you entertain yourself? How do you speak? But I don't have to be afraid of them. Right? Nah, authority. You have authority, the authority of the believer. Oh, I guess I'll go to my next two things next coming weeks.